Before we get started, a quick disclaimer. This podcast is for entertainment purposes only. Nothing you hear is an offer or a solicitation to buy or sell any investment. With that, hello and welcome to the Rangely Capital Podcast. I'm Andrew Walker, Portfolio Manager at Rangely. And with me, as always, my co-host and Rangely's founder, Chris DeMuth. Today's podcast, we're talking all about Uber. So Chris, Uber's been in the news quite a bit recently. I'm counting about five prominent stories in the Wall Street Journal this month alone, which, you know, that's quite a bit. The stories include them shortchanging NYC drivers by millions in the fares they've paid them over the past couple of years. They're facing a federal probe over their use of a grayball software to avoid regulators. There's a war over driverless technology due to a Google engineer they hired who Google claims stole kind of trade secrets and technology secrets and all this sort of stuff. And all of that, plus some issues with sexual harassment, a leaked video of the CEO yelling at an Uber driver. It's just been really messy. The company's kind of looking for a COO to provide what they've called in Techland as adult supervision after Google getting adult supervision for a couple of years in the 2000s. But Chris, before I dive into these things, I just kind of want to turn it over to you. You know, do you have any overarching things about Uber you want to talk about?
I love it as a customer. I love it as a company. I root for them just as a disruptor going up against taxi and livery commissions that are corrupt, overpriced, sleazy, and it's fun to see somebody ruin a monopoly. So each one of these individual articles, I kind of come with a pro Uber bias and want to think, oh, this is probably okay. And then I read the details and I think, sort of not ideal for a small startup, wholly inappropriate for a corporation of their scale. And it's kind of like if you have a kid that's been growing too quickly and you haven't quite thought about like buying them clothes rapidly enough, and then you look at them and I'm thinking, wait, that just doesn't fit at all. And their behavior doesn't fit their corporation anymore.
You know, the two I want to focus on is Google versus Uber in this kind of stolen technology through the hire thing and the NYC shortchanging driver scandal. Mm-hmm. But one thing that I thought kind of ran through all these stories is, and tell me if you think I'm wrong or feel differently, Uber, you know, they really grew because there were a lot of local taxi laws, and Uber just said, screw it, we're not going to follow any of them. Growth at all costs, grow no matter what, and let the laws change for us, you know, local regulations be damned. And it worked, right? Consumers loved them so much that they were so much cheaper than taxis. They grew, but a lot of these things seem to be screw every law, screw every regulation, like we're going to do whatever it takes to grow and win. And while that helps you get there, you know, at a company their size, it might not be the best strategy anymore.
And they should know they have a big target on their back. They have real enemies in the regulators, in the competitors that they are destroying left and right. So they clearly have a very warm place in my heart. I love every aspect of how they got here. And think, though, that they don't play defense as well as they play offense.
Yep.
You know, if you look at the situation with Google, I think it's very interesting because it shows how committed both of the companies are to driverless car technology.
Let's go back and I'll give a little bit of an overview so everybody knows what we're talking about. So this was, you know, front page Wall Street Journal, all that sort of stuff. In 2007, Google hires an engineer. Weeks later, that engineer registers a startup that was going to help develop technology related to his Google projects, including on a self-driving car. 4 years later, Google finds out about this, and instead of reprimanding the engineer, they actually buy his startup for $20 million, which that's a pretty nice payday for your side job. Anyway, in January 2016, the engineer leaves Google and goes and starts his own company. Uber buys that company out for $680 million in August. They named the engineer the head of their driverless car technology. Google sues Uber and the engineer, alleging that the acquisition was just a way for the engineer who stole a bunch of documents, I think it was like 14,000 documents or something, just a way for Uber to basically steal their trade secrets through this acqui-hire. And Google's actually won some injunctions and a return of the files. The judge has referred the case to the Justice Department for possible investigation of trade secret theft. So Chris, you started talking about it. I'll just turn it back over to you.
You know, it shows how much more political influence the kind of old line East Coast companies have. When somebody left Goldman and brought a bunch of documents, they actually had the government just go and arrest him. So at least with Google, they have to rely on civil law and on a non-litigation like this. It's really hard when you have these engineers to sort out when and what. I mean, they can go back to the computers, you know, when were you working on something?
Yeah.
Is a really subtle issue, especially for younger people and more tech savvy people who are on mobile devices constantly going back and forth between devices throughout the course of the day. So I think this is going to be hard to unsort, especially given that Google allowed him this side hack that ended up being worth $20 million. I mean, my thought is that you kind of, it's like he wants it both ways. I mean, he's getting a presumably high salary and so forth, has this job within Google, but then is, if you're able to create something of that amount of value. So there's this funny precedent that Google already had. It'll be hard to sort out having people with long tenure with 100% commitment and being paid for that 100% commitment. Boy, it's certainly the easiest way to sort out the liability and the IP value.
I 100% agree. And you know, one thing that the Wall Street Journal article makes kind of clear is it talks about how it's not uncommon for Google employees to have these side projects. Now, it does make clear that this employee in particular, they say, you know, it was kind of conflicted. It was very weird for him to be working on a project directly related and to kind of be involved with selling products back to Google. But I just wonder, is this an inevitable downside of saying, hey, employees, like, feel free to be entrepreneurial. Feel free to have kind of side hustles. And if you have a really nice side hustle, we're not going to reprimand you. We're going to buy you out. Like, that line just keeps getting pushed and pushed. You know, even if you're co-CEOs right now, Larry Page, he's got a business or two that he is invested in and works on his spare time. If you're pushing that much entrepreneurialism, people are going to keep pushing those boundaries. And as you said, if all of the kind of value comes from intellectual property, not like big physical plants, how do you stop people from, when they realize they've got something that's worth $100 million, not $1 million, from going, taking it, doing their own startup, and then trying to turn around and sell it to the highest bidder? I don't have a great answer.
I mean, where IP physically is just a really tricky thing, and I think the technology has changed it. I was once getting my hair cut in New York and by accident grabbed a bag that ended up being a very senior person at a financial institution, and he had all these documents, and I just saw that it wasn't my bag. It called him, and he was like extremely perturbed that he had grabbed the wrong bag and I had grabbed the wrong bag. At a time a number of years ago where it was physically all there, like where the IP was like it was in this bag. But there's nothing like that now. I mean, this is all, you know, probably within a corporation, it's bouncing back and forth between locations. And so the idea that you move something when you move home or when you move jobs, it's kind of organic.
And it makes me think of that story. I don't know the full details of it. A lot of years ago, Mattel had one of their key engineers or something leave and start up, what was it, the Care Bears or the Cabbage Patch Dolls or whatever. And Mattel said, hey, we had you under contract. We got all your IP. Anything you made was our IP while you were under contract when you were doing these. They could reference drawings that he made while he worked for them. And I believe they won some IP or something. I don't know. But if Google is going to be constantly encouraging employees saying, hey, it's okay to go do side projects, how do you defend any super valuable IP? It's got to be difficult, and you've got to think they're going to lose some of these kind of bigger side bets. Now, at the same time, maybe Google kind of weighs the risk reward and says, as long as we're not losing the $200-$400 million type side bets, like this guy tried to allegedly steal from them, I suppose, maybe they've done the risk reward and realized it's worth it. But I don't know, just an interesting question going forward, and a lot of companies are going to have to deal with it.
And the scale is one that's kind of interesting, because the $20 million payment, it could be from Google's perspective that they're happy with that cost of doing business. But I mean, they're just so big that they can, at least in the short term, brush under the rug the kind of moral hazard issue from creating this incentive. I mean, this is not a way to stop people from doing this.
Cool. So let's turn over to the Uber shortchanging drivers.
Sure.
So, you know, there's an article front page. It says Uber owes New York City drivers tens of millions of dollars. So apparently they were applying their service fee, that their cut, the cut they take of driver's fare, they were taking it to the gross fee, so after sales tax, instead of to the net fee before sales tax. Their terms of service said to the drivers, hey, we're going to take it from the net fee. It ends up with them charging about 2.6% more from drivers than they said they would. Now, you know, 2.6% of every ride is not a huge sum individually, but in total, it ends up being tens of millions of dollars. Uber clearly knows they did something wrong and that they're on the hook for something here, because they immediately came out and said, hey, we're going to make full repayments to everyone. We're going to pay 9% annualized interest rates to anyone who we owe money to. Like, we're going to be paying promptly. If you're a driver for us, it's going to be in your bank account tomorrow. So obviously they know it's bad press. You know, add this up to the video of the Uber CEO berating a driver, and you just have to wonder, you know, do you think Uber has issues with drivers going forward? Do you think this is more big headline, but nothing serious going forward? I'll kind of turn it over to you.
Definitely. My last...
Wait, definitely to which one?
Oh, I'm sorry. Definitely they have problems. No, I don't think this is going to get in trouble. I had an Uber driver recently. I was going to say my last Uber driver, then I was worried he'd get in trouble if they backed into who it was, who was sitting there with both Uber and Lyft at the same time and playing them off each other. And there's even other services that are specifically out there designed around a business model that says, hey, we'll be Uber, except we'll treat the drivers better. And, you know, I think that there's constraints on all sides. I think that they're going to struggle with that issue with the driver reputation.
Look, I listen to a lot of podcasts, and a lot of them Lyft is advertising. And one of the key things they advertise is, hey, Uber doesn't let you, they don't mention Uber by name, but they basically, Uber doesn't let you tip your drivers, and we let you tip your drivers. Tip drivers are happier drivers. We treat our drivers better, so come ride with us. We treat our drivers better, so come be a driver for us, not for Uber. I definitely think that's interesting. You know, Uber's whole thing is, we're not always going to be a ride-sharing service driven by people. Eventually, there are going to be self-driving cars, and we're not going to have those drivers, and our costs are going to go way lower. And you can't just help but wonder, are they just trying to get to self-driving cars a little too quickly with the way they're kind of treating their drivers?
The day before the tech rolls out, they're going to have their last driver storm out and say, "I quit," and, like, and done. And then they light up the self-driving the next day.
Yeah, and then, you know, again, it's just a bad look, because on Friday they also acknowledge, hey, we've decoupled what we pay drivers from what the customers charge us, which means drivers are still ostensibly making the same amount, but during like big surge pricing times and stuff, they might keep more of what the riders are paying. So you do wonder, just like, is all this bad press, is it really going to lead to people shifting over to Lyft, drivers shifting over to Lyft? I know personally, I found Lyft to be much cheaper a lot of times recently, and I've started using Lyft more than Uber, but that's just one person. But
interesting. Yeah, no, and I think that a lot of the drivers, in my experience, are pretty sophisticated people. Actually, in any of the cases that I've gotten into conversations with them, their life goal, you know, a lot of them are grad students or people who are going off to different things. And I think they're going to be thoughtful and just savvy about finding the best gig.
Yep. And then I thought it was kind of interesting a couple of days ago. Google and Lyft actually came out and said they're announcing a partnership to help get them to self-driving technology. So it kind of brings the story back full circle, right? Like Google suing Uber, Uber might be losing some drivers to Lyft, and Lyft and Google are now announcing a partnership to kind of team up and do everything. I just thought that was kind of interesting. Chris, any last thoughts before we kind of wrap it up here?
I have nothing to add.
Perfect. So that's all the time we have for today. Before we hit our disclosures, just a quick reminder, if you like this podcast, please be sure to follow and rate us on iTunes, Stitcher, or Audio Boom. Disclosures, Chris, I don't believe we're long any of the stocks we talked about today. I think we only talked Google.
Yeah.
So Uber, super private company, $70 billion market cap, but not publicly traded. All right, that's all the time we have for today. We'll talk to you guys later this week.